on the rooftop in Mumbai, India, where there were three or four people in attendance to that Bible study. And one was Pastor Brian Coelho. The other one was Susan Coelho. The other one was Carl Silva. That was a Bible study on the rooftop in Mumbai, India, and on the rooftop of the Coelho house. And I remember the message was Acts 27:25, and I remember it well. And what an effective Bible study. The third Bible study that I can remember, now I did a lot of them, but these come to my mind today, was in South Africa. A Bible study I didn't want to go to because I had to drive 6 hours down and 6 hours back. And at the Bible study were three people. I drove all the way and I thought to myself, this is unbelievable. Three people. And the three people were Adam Speedy, his father, and his mother. Wow. So his father and mother became missionaries. They both became pastors, him and his father. They became missionaries to Africa. So it was just God. So something that struck me recently, I preached about it a little bit in Baltimore at a Bible college class and in Grace Hour. Are you with me?
Yeah. Yes.
You know why I say that? Mm-hmm. People aren't.
Yeah.
Okay. Tune in. It's really, by the way, this is one of the reasons why people never grow. It's because they don't know how to concentrate. Their mental movements propel their body movements, and before you know it, they can't concentrate.
Yes.
Dr. Stevens would say hundreds of times, can I have your undivided attention?
Yeah.
And there was a reason for that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk about God's agape love. Anybody like that subject?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Agape love. In 1 John 4:7 through 1 John 5:3, the word agape is mentioned 29 times. 4:7 through 5:3. 29 times the Apostle John says agape, agapeo, agape, agapeo. Mm-hmm. He keeps saying it over and over again. And that really struck me because John the Apostle was the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Wow.
It was said five times he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. John 13:23, when he was leaning on Jesus' bosom, he said, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. At John 19:26, standing at the cross, it says the disciple whom Jesus loves is standing there. In 20 verse 2, the disciple whom Jesus loves is running to the tomb. In 21:6-7, the disciple whom Jesus loves is coming back to him from fishing. And in 21:20, the disciple whom Jesus loves is following him. Think about that. Leaning, standing, running, returning, and following. That's the disciple whom Jesus loves. And if you want to be a disciple, this is really the key. It's not just learning the word, but learning the word in the nature of God. This is so important. So when we think about God's love, I said two things today that I want to talk about tonight. Two things. Love equals faith in and fear out.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Galatians 5:6 says, faith is energized by love. Faith's source is love.
Galatians 5:6.
That's faith is sourced in love. Then in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. So faith in, fear out. Say that with me.
Faith in, fear out.
Faith in. This is what love does. It brings faith in and kicks fear out.
Amen.
You know, one of the biggest problems that I hear at times is people will talk about the name and the claim of people, the professional faith people. They always talk about you needing more faith. And I think That's the most ridiculous statement I ever heard in my life. I know the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. But it also says this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay? My beloved son. So Jesus is loved by his father. So in the incarnation, that love produces faith in his father. As the son of God in eternity, as perfect deity, that was one thing. But when God became a man, he now would have to obey and receive and listen to what his father said. I do always hear the voice of my father. There's some things we don't always grasp about the incarnation. God became a man. It's amazing, really. But he had to listen and be led. So we please God by faith, but faith is energized by love. In John 21, the thing that Jesus said to Peter was, "Do you love me?" Why did he say that? Because he knew if there was no love relationship, that there would be no faith. And if Peter had no faith as the pastor, then in all reality, nothing will take place. So, Peter, John 21, 15 through 17, "Do you agape me?" And Peter says, "I love you like a friend." Right? He uses the word from phileo love, friendship love. And Jesus asked him again, "Do you agape me?" And he answered again with phileo, brotherly love. Then Jesus came to him, his level. And he said, "Do you have a friendly affection for me?" He said, "You know all things." He says, "Feed my sheep." Jesus came to his level where he was at. So how important it is for us to receive from the love of God. Because we can never live by faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
Romans 5:5 says,
yes,
the Holy Spirit's not ashamed, and the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. By the way, you are the greatest mission field of God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Stop talking about going on the mission field till you become God's mission field.
Amen.
There's an interesting thing. A lot of people want to go on the mission field, plant churches, go overseas. They get all elevated in their ridiculous thinking about doing that, and they never let God love them and realize that you are the mission field of God.
Amen.
You are the mission field of God. And by the way, to go on the mission field without being the mission field of God, you'll create more people like yourself, which will be detrimental to the mission field or what you do. So faith has a foundation in love. So we need to be loved by God every moment of every day. The Holy Spirit lives in me to shed the love of God abroad in my heart. This is the key to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's got a number of keys. One of them is he wrote the word. Second is he loves us. Okay? This is very important. Number three, he leads us to the church. By the way, you can't be spirit-filled without a church. Don't tell me you are, because you're not telling the truth. Okay? So, without love, if there's no agape love, see, Abraham was loved by God. He could step out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. Joseph was loved by God. He could take all the years of being sold into slavery. Imagine that. He's sold by his own brothers into Egypt. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Have you ever thought about that with somebody who sold you out? Somebody who's done the wrong thing to you? Somebody who's abused you? Somebody who has hurt you in the ministry? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. To save many people alive. You didn't sell me. This is what love says. God sent me.
Yes.
Nobody can sell me. And nobody, whatever. The hand of God is on us. So Joseph, it says in Genesis 37, verses 1 through 3, Joseph was loved by his father, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now here's what people say. Well, did Joseph have more love from his father than the other brothers? No. Joseph received more. The father gave it to all of them, but Joseph received it.
Wow.
Are you listening?
Yes.
You know, God loves everybody absolutely the same, but everybody doesn't receive it. And those who receive it can grow in love and in faith. So here is Joseph. And he's going to go on a 93-year adventure of faith. But the key to his adventure of faith is he was loved by his father. He was loved by God. When Hudson Taylor was interviewing missionaries for China, the first one came in and he said, "Why do you want to go to China?" He said, "Because my grandfather and my father were missionaries." He said, "Not him." Next guy came, he said, "Why do you want to go to China?" He said, "Because Chinese people are lost and there's millions of them and there's nobody there preaching." He goes, "Not you." Third guy came in, so why do you want to go to China? He says, "Because I believe what the Bible says about Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 and 21 and Acts 1, 7, and 8. He goes, "Not you." Last guy came in, he says, why do you want to go to China? "Because God loves me and loves Chinese people." He goes, "You're the man."
Wow.
"You're the one that's going to go." Because love motivates people. Motivates them to live by faith. Okay? Remember what he said, "I show unto you a more excellent way"?
Yes.
Something above and beyond the gifts. Everybody, you know what? You can have every gift in the world. Gift of pastor, this gift and that gift. If there's no love, your gift is useless. Because your gift will be wasted on yourself in self-recognition. Love. This is the key. This is how the ministry in Africa survived. This is how the ministry of Greater Grace went from Maine to 81 countries with 768 churches. Because the ministry had a grasp on the message of agape love. They had a real grasp. You want to make a difference in Florida? Let God love you. That's all. You want to make a difference in your family, at your place of work? Love people unceasingly, unconditionally, without a doubt. I don't care what they've done. We heard something, you said something today about some people don't forgive. How could you not forgive if God forgave you? God forgave me all of my sins. Yes. I can't forgive somebody else. You have a wounded, subconscious, unconscious wound in your old sin nature.
Wow.
And God doesn't want to heal it. He wants to crucify it.
Wow.
How's that one? He doesn't heal the old sin nature. He crucified it. He can heal a person, all right, in their will and not, but he wants, that's dead. Okay? "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Right? "I do not frustrate the grace of God." He loved me, died for me. So, faith? Heroes, they're not heroes of faith, they're heroes of love. They're not heroes of faith. Because faith is energized. Okay, energeo is the word. It's sourced and energized. Has its foundation, love. So when love is there, faith comes in. I can never do that. Oh, really? Well, maybe you've never let God love you into that. You know, it's very interesting. I couldn't do that. I thought about that one time, you know, when God was calling me about Africa. I thought, and Dr. Stevens says the most important things is to let God love you and to love people in Africa. Love them. That's what will change them. Some people go there and they want to give them some legalistic approach. They start Bible schools and they don't care about anybody. When I was in Rwanda after the genocide, when 1.3 million people were murdered, somebody came to me and said, "What is going to happen? What's the answer for Rwanda?" I said, "Agape love." That's the only answer for Rwanda, is agape love, like the only answer for any country. What's the answer, for America? It's God's love. Love, and the church loving people with God's love. It's not some politician, it's not some president, it's not the Senate or Democrats or Republicans or the Congress or the Supreme Court. That's ridiculous. Get that out of your mind once and for all. The answer is agape love.
Amen. Yes.
From the church and Christians. You know, so many Christians are so political and they actually make me sick to be around them. I can stand them for 31 seconds. 31 to 45 when I'm very patient. I don't care about that. I don't have time for that. That's not my game. We never talk about politics on the air in Grace Hour. See, Pastor Stevens had a grasp of eternal love unconditional love, agapeo love, unending love. He had a grasp on it. See, he was loved by God as a three-year-old boy when his father died. Okay? He was loved by God into the work of God. This is what makes a difference, you know? So many people want to do a work for God. You know what the thing you can do? You can let God love you. By the way, watch this. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And by the way, you know how we... you ever hear Christians say this? I heard messages. God's never against you. Yes, he is. He's against what you do, not you. Don't go giving me that slang. God's never against me. He is against me when I sin. God's against sin. God's against. He says, I have somewhat against you. You've left me your first love. I got something against you, Church of Ephesus. I love, by the way, Church of Ephesus had, listen to this. Church of Ephesus had the greatest pastors in the history of Christianity. They have John the Apostle, Paul the Apostle, Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus. And they didn't make it. They didn't make it. By the way, having great pastors doesn't guarantee anything in our ministry if God's love is missing. If God's love is missing, just give it time before it collapses. Right? It's a matter of time. I have someone against you. You've left me. You've deserted me. You've abandoned me, it says. The word is aphemi. You've left me your best love. I'm your best love. And you left me. You're so consumed. By the way, you get consumed with ministry and not with God's love for people. You'll have a church, all right. You'll have a bunch of people getting together to learn the Bible that don't know God. Hello?
Amen.
You want to plant the church? Plant the church based on agape, love, and truth.
Yes.
Right? He says, you left me. You've deserted me. You're a church and you have no fellowship with me. This is what Jesus is saying to the church of Ephesus. And that church was given Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, chosen in love. Eternal love. 2, 4, great love. 3, 16 to 19, love. Breadth, length, depth, height. Know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. 4, 2, walk in love. 5, 2, walk in love. 4, 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love. 5, 25 to 30, God's love. They left it. All that initiation of agape love, and the church left it. And he says, by the way, the church in Ephesus, the actual building, became a Muslim mosque. How's that one? Huh? They left love. No love, no faith. No faith, no pleasing God. God's not pleased with people that don't operate in agape love. He loves them, but he's not pleased. By the way, there's a big difference between God loving me and God being pleased with me. Oh, yeah. He said, this is my beloved son, and my when I am not living in the Son, God's not pleased with me. He loves me. Please don't get that wrong and get condemned. He loves me, but he's not pleased at what I'm doing. If I go out and smoke dope, is God pleased with me? Come on. I live in fornication, is God, or adultery, is God pleased with me? I went to a guy's house one time in Ghana, Community 8, and I knocked on the door, and he was in there with a woman, and it wasn't his wife. He got up and he said, praise the Lord, Pastor. I said, you should have said, praise the devil, because that's what you're doing.
Oh,
I said, how's that one? Mm-hmm. By the way, he came to a wedding about a week later, and he was dancing up to bring his offering to the Lord. I had two ushers lift him off his feet and throw him out the window. Get rid of that guy. I don't want his spirit around the church. No, we didn't hurt him. So we put him through the window, standing up.
Through the
window. I don't want to make that sound too bad. God's love is what does what? It produces faith. Men of God, they had faith in God. Moses understood something about God's love. That's why he could lead Israel out of Egypt. Daniel. Remember what God said to Daniel? Daniel 10. 11 and 19, oh man, greatly loved. You're greatly loved. And that's why Daniel had faith. Daniel had faith because he was greatly loved. Okay? This goes on and on. Peter had faith. What's the first thing that Jesus said to them? No, fear not. How does that go away? Love. We'll get to that. That's the second point. Love. Faith in fear out. Right? Perfect love, teleos love, complete love, casts out fear. It kicks it out the door. Are you with me?
Yes.
Like one time I kicked two Jehovah Witnesses. I said to them in Hoyo, they were at her door. I said, get away from the front of that door. They said, you have no right to say that. I said, I told you to get away from that door and get out of this building. They said, you don't own this building. I said, yes, I do. And I drove them out. I drove them out of the building. I put fear in their life.
Yeah, but
no,
real
but
fear.
You
did.
Fear
me too.
Oh, man, I loved you out of that fear. Okay, no, love kicks fear out the door. Love casts it out. The word cast out means it's driven out. Love gets rid of fear. How many people live in fear? That's the first thing that Jesus said to Peter because he knew he was going to do what? Fear. He says, "Fear not. Fear not." First words, Isaiah 41: "Fear not." Genesis 15, fear not, I'm your shield and exceeding great reward. See, love removes fear. And by the way, we got a lot of phobias. A lot of fear. Fear of airplanes. Fear of I don't have any fear of my wife leaving me. By the way, I did tell my wife one time, if you leave me and you marry somebody else, I'll kill everyone that marries you. Until you get the phone.
Oh my God.
I'm just joking. I'm only joking.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You meant that.
No. Perfect love does what? Cast out fear. You know how many people live in fear? Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me get you back again. Perfect love casts out fear. Out the door. How about the fear of old age? I don't have that stinking fear. I'm not afraid of old age. I don't have the fear of my... Oh my God! Do these brownies have COVID? No, they don't.
Wait, give them
COVID.
Eat them.
No, these are all for me. No. Take it easy. Fear. Oh my God! You're going on an airplane to Florida? That's where the worst case is. Shut up. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear. Oh, it's like amazing. Fear of disease. Not the doctor. Most of those doctors haven't got a clue what they're doing. I had one doctor want to open up my head and do something in my brain. I said, are you nuts? You ain't going near my brain. No, I don't listen to them. You say that I have a right to listen to them. You certainly do. And that's why you live in constant fear. Over what the doctor's report is. Oh my God, the C word. I don't want to hear the C word, cancer. Whatever. Heart attack, whatever. You die, you die. What's the big deal? Yeah, I mean, come on. What is this thing anyway?
You're going to see the Lord anyway.
Yes. Perfect love, fear of my finances failing, fear of the banks crashing, fear of the unknown. Fear of fear itself, right? I'm afraid of fear. I'm afraid of fear. It's another fear. Fear of water, going in the ocean. There's a shark. You know what I used to do in the ocean in Ghana? I would cut myself on purpose and go where sharks were just to test God. Morning,
I don't know what I got to do with you.
I didn't do that. I didn't.
Oh, no.
Hey, Evie, how many people did I have to save in Ghana? Remember? Every time people were drowning, I got to go in. I said, no more beach. That's it. Even Ben Nara, I couldn't get him in. It was so heavy. I brought Dwayne in. He got lost out in the water once. Couldn't get in. Huh?
Me, Dwayne, Amy, and Steve.
Yeah, you all got caught. You know what? Fear of the ocean. Fear of the water. Fear of oh, my God. What's going to happen? It's like living in these fears. There's so many. Once I counted 35 fears that I listed them, 35 different types of fear. Oh, my God. What's that person going to do? What are they going to do? Am I going to get fired today? And living in this constant fear. Perfect love what?
Cast out fear.
Love, faith in, fear out. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4-6. Who loved us and washed us from our sins and made us kings and priests. And then he fell on his face when he saw Jesus, and Jesus touched him with his right hand and said, "Fear not. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last, he who is, who was, and is to come, he who was alive and died and is alive forevermore."
Amen.
Don't fear. Don't live in fear. Fear, you know? Fear, I'm going to be single my whole life. Good. Don't be afraid of that.
No.
God, you might marry somebody and regret it later. Right? He's 87 years old and still single. Go easy.
Oh my God.
Fear. My wife said to me, "If I go home to be with the Lord, what are you going to do? You can't even make an egg." I said, "I don't fear." I said, "Lisa will cook." She goes, she's got her own life. I said, "Not when her father's alone, she doesn't. Her father's more important than anybody. And by the way, even if the kids are married, we come first." I'm just having fun. I know. A man should leave father and mother and cling to his wife. Yeah, and then the Bible also says, if you don't honor your mother and father, you're cursed. You won't live long, you'll die young. How's that for a promise from God?
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Now, you don't honor your mother and father, you ain't going to live long. I honored my father when he was... I told you the story about my father. I went to the hospital, and they were very angry at the hospital. I told you that story, right?
Yeah.
The other day, some of you weren't there, and they said, "Your father won't take a shower. He won't clean."
Oh, yeah.
So I go into the, and I got the doctor, I got the two nurses there, and I said, "Dad, what's going on?" He goes, "I've never been in front of another woman without my clothes on, so she's not bathing me, and how do I know he's not a fag?" I'm like, "Oh my God, he just said that, you know?" Well, you know, I wasn't afraid. Fear not. Why? Because I'm being loved by God. I don't live in fear. Fear is a word that means you're put to flight. God draws you with love. Hosea 11:4, "I drew them with cords of a man, bands of love." I drew them. So fear makes you run away. Love draws you into the plan of God. Some people tell me, "I'm afraid to go into downtown Baltimore. There's a lot of crime." I'm not, because I let God love me. I don't think about the Holyoke Flats being a crime place. Right? You weren't listening to me. It's okay. The Holyoke Flats, there's crime there. It doesn't bother me. I'm going in there. Right? What if I was afraid and didn't come? You wouldn't be sitting here right now. Am I right?
Yeah.
Not me, but God did it, right?
Yeah.
Fear? Guy put a gun to my head one time. He said to me, "I don't want you to preach about Jesus. I hate Jesus." I said, "So?" He goes, "Well, I'm gonna end this preaching." I said, "You know what? You're going to go to jail for sending me to heaven. What are you, stupid?" He got saved. I was a little nervous. By the way, I was in Fort Pierce, Florida. A guy threatened me with a knife. Remember that story? I was in Fort Pierce preaching outside. And before I was preaching, I was talking to a dope addict, okay? And he started weeping in Fort Pierce. This was years ago. And he prayed with me. Then I went to preach open air. We had the mime there and everything. And Latasha and a bunch of them. And a guy came up with a knife. And he said, "I'm a Muslim. Stop preaching. I'm going to stab you." You know what happened? The first guy I witnessed to, he came over with a gun and said, "Leave the preacher alone." He pulled the gun on the guy with the knife. First guy I witnessed to. Don't fear, right? Living in fear. Fear over everything. It's a bug, you know? It's a snake. Oh my God. Is that water purified? You should see the waters I drink. I drink the worst water. I was drinking out of the tap today in my hotel room, you know? Because I had to take, I always take, I don't know, colon cleanse pill, something, and check out the tap. I could hear my wife's voice saying, "Don't do that!" And I said, "Lynn, I don't fear your voice!" Know what? No
fear.
Fear. No fear. And how does that happen? Love. Faith in, fear out. Say it.
Faith in, fear out.
This is the key to our Christian lives. It really is. God says, I want you to live by faith, and I want you to not live in fear. And the only way it's going to happen is if you let me love you.
Wow.
You let me love. 29 times, agape.
Wow.
29 times, John mentions it. By the way, do you know that John used the word agape 98 times in his writings?
Wow.
The Apostle John, in the Gospel, in the Gospel of John, in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and in Revelation, he used the word agape 98 times. I think John was onto something. He was onto what? Love of God. By the way, love people when they fail. Who cares? Remember Pastor Christian? Evie, remember Pastor Christian? Yeah, he left his wife and made a mess of things. He was living with a woman that wasn't his wife. And then he came back. And I loved him as if it never happened. I never brought it up to his remembrance. I just said, you're still a pastor in this ministry. People need to be loved out of their sin. You love people out of their sin. You love people out of their backsliding. This, my son was lost, and now what? Now he's found. This is my son is back.
Wow.
Amen? My son is back. Don't hold things against people. Welcome them back as if they never left.
Praise
God.
I know.
How about this one? How about when a pastor says this? He walks up to somebody. I heard this on the street one time. Walks up to me. Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. You just condemned me. I haven't seen you in a long time. I know it's true, but they don't need to hear that. You know what the woman said to the pastor? The only thing you care about is if I'm in your church.
Wow.
I'm a seat in your church. You don't care about me. You care about if I'm sitting
wow.
in your church.
Concerned.
That pastor never said that again. I haven't seen you in a long time. That's exactly what they don't need.
Wow.
They need to be ministered to just as if they've
Amen.
Never, they've always been.
Praise God.
Because eternally they always are there.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And by the way, there's a lot of wounds that people have in their unconscious, subconscious minds that only love can heal.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes. Wounds in the unconscious, subconscious
Praise
mind.
God.
And love is the healing balm of the Holy Spirit
yes.
to go in and change them.
Yes.
Change them. That's how they get changed.
Wow.
And by the way, there's some wounds that are very, very severe. One is a pastoral wound. When you are wounded by a pastor, that's not easy. When you're wounded by a father figure or a mother figure for a young man, that's not easy. Okay? It's only going to take the Holy Spirit and God to heal that wound.
Wow.
And we've all got them. We've all got them somehow, somewhere. Don't sit there and say, no, it's not me you're talking about. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But there's something there.
Yeah.
We have unsaved parents. There's some unconscious things, you know, that are there. One thing I love about my mother, she always loved me. Police came to arrest me in my kitchen when I was 14 years old. And they said, your son robbed the store 5 chainsaws. My mother said, he did not. She says, we got the evidence right here. It's in your car. She goes, somebody put it there. She goes, Stephen wouldn't do that. They just left. They took the chainsaws. My father said, put him in jail. My mother's going, he didn't do it. That was my mother.
Unconditional
love. My mother was amazing. I could do no wrong in her eyes. She was unbelievable, you know? And I was selling narcotics from her house. I had a huge narcotics business very early, you know, in the 70s. Right from the house. Are you with me? That dog needs to be loved.
Anger.
Huh? No, but you know what? You know what? Love casts out what?
Fear.
Love casts out fear. And my mother loving me, even if it was in the natural, then became spiritual. Cast out what?
Fear.
Cast out fear.
Fear.
Cast out fear. So love equals what? Faith in?
Fear
out.
Out.
Say it. Don't forget it.
Love in.
Fear out. Father, thank you tonight. Bless our rap session. Don't get all crazy and start running away. You know, after 30 minutes, okay? No, you can't. You have to go, you're free. But Father, we pray, touch our lives, shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. Help us, God, to see love bring faith in and kick fear out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. No. Are you afraid I won't let you
have caramel in it.
Jimmy, how are those from?
You said they were all from me.
I don't want to go to New Egypt.
Nobody does.
So bad.
Okay.